You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, and it's not raining. It's a beautiful sunny day in the Colombian capital. And yes, this week we have another very special guest on the show. We're going to be talking about a bit about everything and nothing, but it will all be tailored to Colombia. I hope you've enjoyed the last few shows that we've had. They've been very popular, you know, especially the history shows, the travel shows, and of course the politics as well. They've been very popular. We would also have someone in the pipeline coming up for the next show, not this one. It'll be Marcia Engel will be back. You'll remember her from Plan Angel, how she helps reunite children with their biological families, mainly children who've been stolen from here in Colombia, which of course happened to her when she was a young girl in South Bogota. So we'll be attending one of her meetings where she hands over DNA testing packages from a charity to these people and to parents looking for their kids who might have been taken at some point in the past. Anyway, this is episode 187, and we're here in a very wonderful part of Bogota with Andre Canayet. Andre is half Croatian, half Colombian, but really all Colombian with Croatian background. So welcome on Columbia Calling, Andre.
Thank you very much, Richard, and hi to everyone.
It's a pleasure to have you on here, and thank you for getting in touch, because it's very interesting to have someone, first of all, from your background. Let's say you are a photographer, but let's talk about your identity a little bit. You are a Colombian. You were born here, you were raised here, but it was your grandfather who came to Colombia. It was your grandfather who fled Croatia, World War II, I guess.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Wow.
He used to be a spy for the partisan army. And what I understand, and maybe this is just a story, he had to flee Europe in a box, you know, like you see in the movies, on a boat, got here, got married to a Colombian woman, put a, you know, like a liquor and wine store business. And that's how my family, you know, comes from Croatian ancestry.
It's amazing, these stories. I know other stories of people who had to flee Europe. Germans who were not German Jews had to flee, and I know them. They fled in coffins through Spain and came to Colombia and etc. Now, so when he arrived, in that period, he would have arrived, you know, obviously probably by boat to Barranquilla or Cartagena or somewhere.
You know, like, those details have been lost a little bit through the years, because my father, for some reason, he doesn't have a very good memory. You know, he just kind of repeats the story. And I don't know, like, the small deals. I just know he got to Bogota and he got married to a Colombian woman.
Because I like these stories, because it's a passion of mine is investigating, and I find that most of the people who come in would have then arrived at the Estación de la Sabana in central Bogota. Can I ask where the wine store that he opened, where was that based?
This was, you know, like 57th Street and 13, I think this
Oh, wow. So Chapinero.
Yeah, correct.
Because 57 and 13, but even then it would have been less populated back then, because it was kind of, that's, we're talking about the suburbs now.
Yeah.
But now, of course, it's all built up and it's the center of Hipsterville now.
Exactly. Exactly. I know for a fact that there's like this French woman that used to be like a head chef or a patissier chef, I don't know how you call it, for Four Seasons, and she lives like in this part of the city now.
Okay.
So, you know, like, it's still like a very foreign friendly place in Bogota.
Well, I think so, because it's one of those places that it's still finding its identity, and then foreigners can fit in quite well, you know, because there's a state of flux in Bogota, I think, and it's coming into its own way.
Yeah, and it has what I call like this Colombian colorfulness that I think foreigners like so much of here.
I think there is a bit of the colorful nature. I think definitely you're right on that one. I think, but so interesting to have that background. I mean, that's what you know, it gives you a wealth of history. And of course, but you were born here, you are a Bogotano. I mean, that's the thing,
yeah.
Which I think is so important for people to say, yeah, that for so long, so many Colombians are like, oh yeah, well, I was born in Bogota and I go to school in Bogota, but my parents are from Norte Santander. So really I'm from Norte Santander. No, you are Bogotano, which is what happened to many people in England as well, from where I am. I'm from London. I am from London. And everyone's like, no,
love it.
You want to be from outside of London? No, I'm from London. We need to claim the city, don't we? And I think that's happening now in Colombia. And would you say so?
Yeah, and I think that being a Bogotano, it kind of gives you a chip on your shoulder a little bit. And that's weird, because usually what used to happen was that people from outside of the city, you know, like from Barranquilla, Cali, Medellin, they would say that the Rolos, you know, like they were kind of assholes.
Yeah.
And I think that that has changed a lot. I think that the Bogotano has become more open-minded thanks to all this influx of people coming. And I think that now probably we are the most open city in Colombia to foreigners from different parts of Colombia and abroad.
I would say so too. And I think you're right on that one, because it's the capital city syndrome. If you're from the capital city, everyone seems to look at you funny, like, oh, you think you're superior. Well, as a Londoner, I never thought I was superior, but I never had to go anywhere else because everything was there. And I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, and it's definitely a global problem. I think, you know, for example, the United States has this kind of thing when you see like these articles of kids that don't know, you know, where's France or whatever. It's I think it's that, but I think you have to cultivate a curious mind. Mm-hmm. And if you have that and you travel and you get to see different parts of the world and experiences, you can become a much interesting person.
Yeah, I think so too. I think definitely, and you see that, and that is worrying. You know, when we look at the news and then we hear about these youngsters who perhaps don't understand where these places are, but that's, you know, this is an effect of what's going on, and that kind of leads me. I mean, you talked about travel. Now you are a photographer. You do a great deal of travel photography, right?
Yeah,
so you've got
correct.
An exhibition coming up here in Bogota in the forecourt of the EK Hotel,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
So that's in what address is that exactly?
That's 19th Street, 90th?
90th, yes.
Street and 11th,
and 11th
Avenue.
So right among, it's like the Millionaire's Mile, I mean.
Yeah, correct. I would say it's kind of like a Rockefeller Center here.
Yeah. It's got excellent restaurants in that area. So if
yeah.
you find yourself in the area, and the whole of June, your photographs are going to be exhibited there. So tell us a little bit about how, I mean, because you've got various different activities that occupy
yeah.
your time. But tell us about your photography. How did you get into photography, Andre?
Well, basically, I've always been an artistic person,
which
I don't know if it's a curse or if it's a blessing, because my father is like such a huge businessman, and my mother, she's like, you know, like the yogi type of woman, and I've always had that tension in my life.
Yeah.
So, but I said, you know, like, fuck it, I'm going to study cinema.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a film school grad.
Wow.
And that's where I got interested in photography for the first time. You know, I started practicing, and I got into some Nat Geo courses with David Allen Harvey. And through the years, I've learned from probably one of the best photographers right now, which is Chris Burkhardt. And, you know, since 2005, I've been doing it. And 3 years ago, I decided to really start, you know, like going, how you say it? Like
really plunging in,
yeah,
really dedicating.
Really dive into it. And it's been a grind, but it's been amazing.
What is that? It's a hard job to make, you know, make waves in. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who consider themselves photographers, and there's a lot of people who are photographers. I'm not a photographer on no level. I try and take photos to illustrate my stories, and on occasions they're accepted, but I am not a photographer. You know, this is the reality. If someone's a professional photographer, you can tell the difference of the quality produced. But that's the truth. It is the truth, because it's also the truth with a writer. If you know, if something's written by a recent graduate and they're selling it for $20, honestly, would you not prefer to pay more money and hire someone who's got 10 years, 15 years of experience, who knows how to bring in the right language, the ambience, and frame a story? It's the truth.
Sure.
Unfortunately, in this day and age where we are all connected on everything and we all think we can be, you know, what we want to be, it becomes more and more difficult. Now, so let's talk about, so you got into your photography.
Yeah, I want to, you know, say something about that, which I find very interesting. I think it's unfortunate in some ways and it's very fortunate in others. I think what everything has come down to, it's you as a human being have so many tools at your disposal and people are not taking advantage of them. They're just, you know, like half-assing them in a sort of way. So I totally agree with you that it's a disgrace when people, they just write without, you know, reading good literature and practicing and working and getting good content out. So that's, you know, when it hurts me to see a good photographer being compared to a mediocre one, because, you know, he takes photos with his iPhone and he doesn't know what he's doing. And the same with you. I mean, if you write cool stuff, that's why I contacted you. And that's why I say it's unfortunate, but I do think it's fortunate if you take advantage of this and you become, you know, like a broader person. That's why.
Well, that's it. I mean, you're revealing yourself as well. You know, if you have that gift and the ability to progress, then it's an excellent out, isn't it? And
sure.
But therein came your let's say your bohemian side from your mother.
Yeah, and here comes the entrepreneurial side from my father, which is, I think that for people with our line of jobs, it's amazing to kicking the ass, you know, the lawyers and the managers and all these kind of people and economists that I feel, and I think a lot of people feel this way, have always kind of looked down onto the art world and this line and these professions, you know. So I think that this levels up the field. If you are enthusiastic about your job and you try to be better and you learn also from their skill set.
Yeah, this is true. Actually, I think you're touching on a very important point there, and it's interesting. I just want to ask: you studied film here in Bogota?
Yeah, always.
Which university did you study film?
I went to a small school that's called Black Maria.
Black Maria. Actually, I know nothing about film schools.
Yeah, like I think nobody actually like really knows it except people in the film industry in Colombia. Because it's like a very niche school. And he has a very good reputation in the field.
Okay.
But, you know, I never wanted to leave Colombia because it's such a wonderful place.
But you don't look like a typical film student. I have a different image of a film
what
student.
What did you thought?
Well, I expect you to be very bohemian.
Oh, hell no.
Because I've met a few film students in my time and they tend to be a little bit more out there.
I do have my eccentric side.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we're sitting here in Andre's home and there's guitars on the wall and stuff, but it's not what I would think of, you know, sort of papers thrown everywhere and crazy kind of party style. It doesn't look like that at all. So we're talking to someone who's kind of very serious about their passion, and it's photography. So tell us about this exhibition coming up.
Okay, so the exhibition is going to be showcasing some pictures I took in Miami Beach of some lifeguard beach houses.
Yeah,
and it will be complemented with some, I would say, like some very desolate landscapes, seascapes, you know, predominantly. And I think they make a good mix. And, you know, I think it's probably my best work to date. People are very excited about them. I get complimented all the time. And I compliment myself as well. It's very funny to say that, but I do feel it's, when you were talking about, you know, like being a photographer and being a photographer, you know, maybe like a wannabe photographer, I wouldn't have been able to get to this concept without taking it seriously and working.
You take it seriously. It's a passion. And of course, you, like you said, you say congratulate yourself. But if you do something well and you know it's good, then sure, you should celebrate this.
I totally agree. Like people mix up arrogance with self-confidence. I think that arrogance comes when you think you are better than somebody else, but self-confidence would be to know that you have done a good job and you don't think of yourself in a better term than other people.
Now, I've got one of the photos here in front of me, so I'm just going to describe it a little bit. It's four different photos put into one slide of these, you know, the lifeguard
houses, huts,
or beach huts. And they are the most eccentric ones. They've got a bit of kitsch, you know, a bit of gay, bit of color. Some look like fast food places. Another looks like
I say they kind of look like spaceships.
Spaceships. There's the U.S. flag, the stars and stripes. And now, is there a special moment in the day when you took these photos? Because the
actually
is different.
Actually, it's very hard to get pictures of these guard houses without having people.
Yeah.
Like, and it's very hard because people are on the beach, so they're going to be lying down all day and you can't do anything photographically to, you know, tell them to get the hell out. So I do this either very early in the morning, we're talking like 4:30, 5 a.m. Or we are talking about 7:30 to 9 p.m. and it's all naturally lit. I actually traveled to Miami on the date that it was a full moon, so I could use that. And it's going to be very interesting lighting wise. Thank you for bringing that up,
because it is interesting because it's different. It's different.
And the other thing is, like, there's so many, you know, like bars and clubs in front of this that some of them get like a very pink hue on them, and it's amazing.
But there are people. I mean, you've got a couple of people.
Yeah.
And there's sort of a couple talking, and there's a couple doing I don't know what on one of the rooftops here.
Well, they're smoking something. I would say that. Right. But you know, it's that's why I say that it's very hard to get them without people. Like, even then, it's hard.
Yeah.
But none of the, like, these are not going to be the exact ones that you're going to see.
No.
These were the prototype, but the ones at the showcase, they won't have any
excellent
any persons in
there. We're looking forward to it. So that's coming up in just a few days. Then you've got the
next week.
Next week.
Will begin exactly on next Thursday, June 1st.
Okay, June 1st. So if you're in Bogota and you want to check out something different, head down June 1st from June 1st all the way through the month of June in the EK Hotel, the foyer where there's all these great restaurants. Well, there'll be an exhibition of André Canayet's photography. Now, I will give him a shout out. He's a very highly followed Instagrammer. He's on Instagram. He's got hundreds of thousands of followers or some sort. Let's be flattering here.
Thank you very much.
Thousands of followers. It's just André Canayet. And I'll spell the surname. It's K-A-N-A-Y-E-T. So you can find some cool photography on there. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with André. But remember that this is episode 187 of Columbia Calling. It's always a pleasure to have a special guest, and it's always a pleasure to be able to produce this show and have it out there for you, because I know you continue to listen. So we'll be back in just a few minutes talking further about the photography world and Columbia in general with André. So thank you for listening. Don't go away. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling, episode 187. I'm here with Colombo Croat André Canayet, and we're here talking about his passion in life, which is photography. He's a former film student, but he's a photographer. That's his real passion. We've heard about his past, a little bit about the past here. His grandfather fleeing Croatia in World War II. He was a partisan spy. I mean, how exciting is that to have that in your family tree? I just think that's fascinating. But we're talking about photography.
Yeah, probably. Like, my cinema roots come from there. You know, Bernardo Bertolucci says that all filmmakers are bouilloires. So maybe that's why.
Well, yeah, I mean, it has to be. And it means you can tell a good story if you come from this kind of background, I think. And with everything going on in Colombia, I mean, Colombia is a complicated place. You've never wanted to leave, which is great. This makes me happy, because so many Colombians have wanted to go, you know, and so many have gone. But you never left. You stayed, even though you have, I guess, a passport. You could have European passport.
Like, the European passport came let's say like in the glory days of Álvaro Uribe. So it wasn't always available. It was quite a grind to get it.
Yeah.
But while, you know, the dark age of the 90s was here, we've never wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. We barely have like any bodyguards or whatever. It's very, I think that the more paranoid you are, like the worse things are going to happen to you. And it's the reality. It's where we live, but it's, you know, it's very different. I think people are very exaggerated always, and they overplay how this was. Like, of course, it's very easy to say this in Bogota, in the middle of the Miracle Mile. How did you call it?
Absolutely. Millionaire's Mile.
A Millionaire's Mile. But anyway, I think still, yeah. in Millionaire's Mile, yeah. There's been tragedy as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are justified issues in Colombia, of course, because of a lot which went on. But at the same time, there's an unjustified image that's broadcast elsewhere. Yeah. Now, we're not that far from the Nogal club, which was blown up 14 years ago. It was 14, right? Or something.
That was probably 2002, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And I've been in there and so on. I mean, that was an absolute disaster. And only the other day, one of the FARC spokespeople actually said it was a great error that they made. It was a huge thing for them to say, but of course, doesn't bring anyone back. You know, so like we say, there have been serious issues because as you tend to live a much more ordinary life, normal life. Yeah. You don't, and I think that's perhaps a way of doing it. And I talk from a foreigner, so therefore I have a foreigner's benefit, and that's the reality of it. You get a great deal more leeway as a foreigner. I'm not looked at as a Colombian and as one of the families or anything. You know, I wouldn't be able to write a lot of the stuff I write as if I were Colombian. As a foreigner, they're like, I see, okay, yeah. Fair enough. There is that kind of thing. But today, in 2017, things have changed. And, you know, as you said, well, there were issues on, let's say, Millionaire's Mile. But at the same time, now you can wander along here and not even think about it.
Yeah, totally.
With your phone in your hand, speaking away.
Yeah, like, you know, I've seen this, I've lived... Mm. This thing all my life, and I've traveled a lot, and I met a lot of people, and they've always asked, okay, so how is it? And I remember back in the day, like when it was bad, I would always tell people, like, we have everything that you have, so stop complaining and get the hell down here. and that was it. And now people are, I understand that they have fears because CNN and that sounded kind of like Donald Trump-esque, but they show an image that it's not complete.
Yeah.
And I think that you cannot be afraid. Mm. I mean, it's ridiculous. And
well, there are different realities, you say. I mean, we're in Bogota, in a very nice part of town. We're not in Kennedy, we're not in Soacha, and we're not in Guaviare, for example. And I go down there a bit. And, you know, it's a little bit more, it's aggressive down there. There's a difference. Rural and urban Colombia are different. So talking about photography, you never thought about getting into the, let's say, the photography in
for
the
journalism or something like that? I have. The thing is, I've always been, and I'm sorry to say this, say what I'm going to say, which is I've been kind of fancy, and I never thought of, I don't know how to say it in the best way possible. Like, it's not a passion of mine to go and try to change the world through journalism. Uh-huh. A passion of mine is to try to change the world through thinking and communicating and saying maybe some outlandish things and actually showing people the bright side.
Okay.
I could do that job. And the other part would be when I was saying that I was kind of fancy, photojournalism doesn't pay very well.
No.
So that probably was the biggest thing.
Okay, then your dad came out.
Yeah, that's where my father comes out. Correct.
But interesting, because, you know, I'm just curious. The other day I attended the opening of an exhibition in the Centro de Memoria Histórica by a conflict journalist, Spanish guy who's been here for a long time, Alvaro Ibarra, and it's excellent. But since 2002, he's been inserted or with the guerrillas or with the army, and some of the photos he's come out with, they're terrifying. And you know, I've been to some pretty hairy places at times, but nothing like that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And you're like, okay. You know, I've been in scrapes.
Yeah, and I feel totally blessed that I have not had anything of this sort happen, or you know, like these people have huge balls.
Yeah, that
I will say.
Well, I think that's it, and he's got such an understanding of what's going on in the. But I, you know, and I fully respect, though. I fully respect. You made a decision. I said, yeah, I want to work on this. Let's say the fancy side, and it's very artistic. I mean, that is very artistic. The images that I've described,
I think that you cannot deny who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the biggest mistake I've had during my entire life.
Yeah.
Thinking too much about what people will think of me, what they will say. And actually, I'm absolutely thrilled to be here, in part because of this. Mm-hmm. Because people are going to say, oh, you're crazy. You're becoming a YouTuber, which people use as a derogatory term now. And, you know, you cannot fight that. Mm-hmm. Because when you are fighting against your strengths, you will lose.
Yeah. So hang on. So you are going. Are you on YouTube then, or is people?
Will open a YouTube account soon. The thing is, I have to get more content, so it's not so it's on Flick.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm still growing.
You're still growing.
It's still a journey, but Instagram is going very well, and that's what I invite people to do. Like, if you are a photographer, if you are an art. An artist, if you are a designer, if you are a journalist, I think that my Instagram account can be of help to you, because I always talk about, this kind of drama of being an artist, mm-hmm. and you wanting to live nicely and have good things, and, you know, saying to the how do you say, the corporate world, a big fat fuck you.
But let's talk about this, about the networks and so on a little bit. I mean, you're Colombian. I obviously play through the networks. I've got Twitter accounts and so on and so forth. I'm not very... Instagram, yes. YouTube, no. I was banned from YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. It's hard to be banned from YouTube. Well, I recorded a cockfight in Mompox. And then I got hate mail from a few kids in the US, and that's fair enough. I shouldn't have done it. I think I was doing it to provoke. And then I traced the people who were doing all of the hate mail, and they were kids who were then filming themselves fighting at school. And I was like, so which is worse? But anyway, I got a letter from the American Humane Society and stuff. And I responded, and I respect your decisions. I understand fully. And just remember, it's a national sport here. It shouldn't be, but you know, whether you like it or not, but it's
the reality.
It's the reality. Anyway,
people like to fight the reality.
Yeah, so I was banned from YouTube. So I have another account on YouTube now, but I don't really do anything.
And this is like a ban for life?
I think so, under like one of my email addresses.
Or did they slap you on the wrist for a couple of months?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you should check.
Well, yeah, I should check. I'm not really that interested anymore. So tell me how in Colombia, though. I mean, Colombia, podcasts are incredibly popular. I see people listening. I hear about people listening to podcasts. Instagram, of course, is out of this world here. Yeah. People love it. My wife follows every designer possible, which drives me insane, because suddenly we're getting all these orders that she's buying.
It's the best.
Stuff.
I absolutely love Instagram.
Yeah.
This social media talk, it's so interesting to me. Hmm. And I got very, very interested in it maybe like 6 months back.
Yeah.
And it's changed my life. And one of the things that I find so interesting is that I stopped being a content consumer,
mm-hmm.
and I became a content producer. And when you put it that way, when you are outputting stuff instead of making it, incoming,
mm-hmm.
it's a game changer, total game changer. And there's so much to do here, especially because this is Macondo after all.
Yeah, but this
everything comes 10 years later. You know, when I hate it, for example, when Steve Jobs came out and said, oh, the new iPhone, it's here, and we're going to have 3D maps and whatever, and it looked so cool. And I thought, I'm not going to see this for the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is here. So it's I mean, through your Instagram and through whatever else, have you been able to sell your photography? People buy it straight off the
Yeah, I'm right now like setting up my whole e-commerce thing so people can go into a webpage and purchase them through there. You know, it's hard because my pictures are like very, how do you say it? Like very well manufactured. So it's a high-end product. So sometimes people get scared. Like they think they're going to be able to purchase it and maybe then they can't because of money. But I do get inquiries. And the thing that I love the most is talking with people. A lot of people come and contact me through the DM and they ask me, you know, like, you know, I work at a pharmaceutical lab and I want to be a photographer like you. What should I do? My mother says no, whatever. And they ask for my advice and I very patiently listen to all of them.
Yeah.
And because I think it's, if someone gives you that attention, that level of importance, the least you can do is to take them seriously.
Yeah.
And I try to be as courteous as I can, unless they get weird.
Well, yes, that's the thing. It has to be a filter, doesn't it? But I respond to every email as well. People say, I want to get into writing this, and I respond. I usually say, don't do it. But I say, you know, you've got to have thick skin, and you've got to persevere.
Why do you tell them to not do it?
Well, no, I put that in there. I said, if you've got any doubts.
Yeah.
If you've got any doubts. And I said, there's a lot of people who think about it and, you know, I've just finished my undergrad in journalism and I'm always like, oh no.
Yeah.
Because it means you have no, let's say, knowledge expertise before that. And I think a lot of your undergraduate study, I mean, I'm not talking about engineering or whatever, but if you did humanities in any way or anything else, it gives you an expertise which then you can feed into journalism.
Yep.
And there's a background knowledge, let's say the literature that you read, rather than just coming straight out of journalism school. That's usually, it's like, well, you know, you're not going to get rich. It's going to be hard.
I have a couple of thoughts about it. Like the first one, the short one is, one of my favorite books is called The 48 Laws of Power.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one of the laws is enter action with boldness. Mm-hmm. So that's what you were saying. Like if you want to be a journalist, a photographer, an artist, you cannot doubt.
Yeah.
If you doubt, you lose because you spend time pondering and losing time that you should be, you know, contacting Richard McCall to be on the podcast and, you know, getting exposition. So that's one. And the other thing, when you said like, oh crap, he wants to get into this, is I do agree that it's kind of an oh crap because market is so saturated now, what we were talking about, because of all these tools, that anyone can be a photographer, anyone can be a writer, anyone can be a filmmaker, but the difference is quality.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get real serious about it, back to interaction with boldness, and you work at your craft, instead of eating Fruity Pebbles and playing FIFA 2014 all day and wait for people to come banging at your door and, hey, dear 1 month graduated art student, I'm going to pay you $1 million for your piece of work that nobody knows, then you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So I would, back to what we were saying, I would totally suggest to people to go out and work, even if it's, you know, if you're not going to sell it, it's practice. You're going to get better, and that's what separates winners from losers, I suppose. And that's my father coming out.
Yeah. Winners from losers, it really is. I think there's something really interesting there.
And I'm not saying I'm a winner, and I'm not saying I'm a loser. Again, it's a process.
But you're in the process, and you're fighting your way, and you've got an exhibition coming up. So
A third thought is, like when you said, oh crap, maybe if you cannot live of doing your passion right now, you should go ahead and get a job and on the extra hours do your thing.
But it's like, I mean, you've got several jobs. I really have several jobs at the end of it. That's the reality.
That's how you have to structure it.
It's the reality of it. And I think there's something to be said, you know, when you say there's people and there's quality. Maybe this saturation is coming full circle. Maybe it will come full circle at some point where finally, you know, our editors, our museum curators and whoever will go, all right, enough.
I think that we're not going I'm going to disagree with you on this one.
Okay.
I don't think we're going back. Like, I don't think the days when you went to an agency and they paid you like 15 million pesos for some photographs, they're coming back. They're not. That's why I say that you have to structure your life in such a way that you are, that you earn your money or make a living decently in a job that you find, you know, like agreeable enough for you, and work at your passion until it explodes. But you have to make it explode. It's not going to happen, you know, out of thin air. And you have also to accept the reality that they're, that this is not coming back.
No.
So when you accept that, you get into, you know, I'm going to read a little bit about business. I'm going to read a little bit about marketing. I'm going to read a little bit about journalism. And you start becoming yourself, because actually, and this is one of my crazy theories, when you know that artificial intelligence is coming and it's going to take your job again, you have to start thinking what you can bring in the next 20 to 30 years that no one else has. What I think is my brain, my personality. So that's why I work at it every day. I try to be like this very eccentric, different, out of the mold person.
Mm-hmm.
So no robot can come and replace me.
Very good.
Maybe what I do, but not myself. And you know, that compound interest of learning skills makes diamonds, I think. Is what I'm trying to say. You become an asset to society.
I think that's, I think you're incredibly poignant and correct on that.
Thank you so much.
That's very interesting to hear, and very very. So let's wind down this conversation here. It's been really.
Yeah, I hope we have not made people like crazy by going all over the place.
No, it's fine. If I get any emails of hate and something, I'll pass them on to you.
Okay.
I want to ask, you know, the photographs I've seen now is of Miami. In your exhibition, will there be photographs of Colombia or?
Yeah, there will be some of the landscapes, of the seascapes
were
taken in Cartagena.
Okay.
So there definitely will be Colombian things.
Because,
and in my Instagram account, you can see some of the Colombian landscapes I have.
I mean, because this country is an embarrassment of riches for photography. You mean, you got to get down there to like Putumayo and Caquetá.
Definitely have to do that.
So, when are you going to come down to Mompox and take photographs of my little town?
You know, when do you invite me?
I'll be there hopefully most of July, most of August, so I'll let you know.
I'll be there by end of July, beginnings of August.
Perfect.
That would be perfect.
We'll communicate about this. You come on down and take photos of the town, because it can't be photographed enough, because it's so beautiful. But Colombia is that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. From the most simple thing, from the burro wandering down the street, to the beautiful architecture, to the mosque.
Yeah, because I had like this very underground project of Muslims in Colombia. So I have taken some pictures of them in Bogota and Cali.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to Mompox because I think it's the biggest one.
Well,
the biggest mosque.
Maicao.
Ah, that's in Maicao.
But there, I know there's a huge mosque here in Bogota now, off the Ochenta, isn't there?
But that's not like the most, like the biggest.
The biggest
architecturally speaking, it is, but it's not where the biggest demographic is going to be attending.
Yeah.
There's like three of them.
Yeah. No, many, many weeks ago, I interviewed an English guy who is a Muslim here, and about his faith. And he said, no, it's interesting. And it's not you're getting so many direct Muslims, but what you get is people converting to...
They convert at an enormous rate.
Yeah.
They try that, and that's when I... And they'll say like, I'm going to peace out for a while.
They try to convert you.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's incredible. Like, they go, hi, brother, you should definitely take the faith. And he said, you know, I'm going to think about it. You'll be in touch.
I was here to take photographs, you say, just photographs.
Yeah.
Study. Well,
keeping it professional, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyway, listen, I'm gonna promote you once again. Check out, do you have a website that you're setting up for your e-commerce?
Yeah, it's not set up yet, but it's going to be www.photographyourlife.com. AndreaCanayet.com. So, okay, so like my name, it's my staple everywhere.
Perfect. So when you'll see that up on Facebook, as soon as your page is up, you let me know and I'll put it onto Facebook. But go and check out his excellent photographs on Instagram. It's Andre, A-N-D-R-E, and then Canayet, that's K-A-N-A-Y-E-T. So we've been talking to Andre, obviously, about his passion, really, is photography and Colombia. I mean, that's really what we've been talking about. It's been a great chat. So thank you for having me.
And then, it's such a shame. Like, time flew by.
Well, it always does when it's a good conversation. You know.
Thank you very much. I hope you bring me back.
Okay. Well, no, of course we will when we've got further things. When you've got further things to promote and to celebrate, we'll have you back on Colombia Calling. This has been episode 187. I know you've enjoyed it. Thank you again for listening. I'm signing off now. Be sure to check out the Twitter account. That's at Colombia Calling, and of course the Facebook account, same name, because all news about Colombia that I find interesting or important, I'll put up there, and of course writing and so on else and photographs. Thank you once again for listening. Tune in again next week as we'll be back once again. Thank you.